To begin the Upper District Board of Directors meeting. And with that, we'll go to the agenda. The first item is the Pledge of Allegiance. And Ruben, if you can cue on the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Means a lot more now.
Absolutely, yes. So let's go to item number two, roll call. I'll call out the members of the board of directors, and if you're here, please signify by saying aye, or actually here. Director Santana.
Here.
Director Fellow, can you just give us a thumbs up maybe? There you go. Director Trevino.
Here.
Director Contreras.
Here.
And Director Chavez, myself, is present as well. Well, let the record show that all members are present, and then we'll go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved by Trevino, seconded by Contreras. Any questions? If not, then we'll take a roll call vote to approve. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow? I think you have audio now, don't you? This is approving the agenda. Just do a thumbs up then. Okay. And Director Trevino? Director Trevino?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Director Aye. Contreras? Director Contreras?
Aye.
And Director Chavez?
Aye.
Okay, so the agenda is approved, item number three, by a 5-0 vote. We'll go to public comments. Anyone wishing to speak during public comments may do so at this time. So, Christy, do we have any written comments? Or Tom, do we have any?
Good morning, President Chavez. No public comments under item four, but we may have a public comment for item C.
Yeah, so we do have Mr. Greg Mills. He would like to comment when we bring up item 7C regarding the CSDA nomination.
Okay, that'll be okay. So then we'll go ahead and continue on the agenda. Item number five, which is committee reports. There are three reports in our packet, government affairs, water resources, and administration and finance. Do any of those committee chairs wish to expand on their written reports?
No, I have nothing, Chair.
Thank you.
Likewise, everything looks good.
Absolutely, good. And then administrative finance, we're good with that too, Contreras?
Yeah.
Okay.
So with a motion to approve?
Second.
So there's a motion to approve the reports as presented.
There's no reason to do that.
Yeah. I was going to say, we usually don't.
Okay.
So all the reports are there in our packets for anybody to read at their leisure, as well as the public. Tom, was there any other things that we needed to add to the reports?
Yeah, just an update. So at both the Government Affairs Committee and the Water Resources Committee, I provided updates on the Safe Clean Water Program, and those are reflected in the minutes. But there was a subsequent meeting of the Upper San Gabriel River Watershed Area Steering Committee, and I'd like to share with you the results of that meeting. This is the one where I reported the original recommendation from that committee was reviewed by the Regional Oversight Committee, and the Regional Oversight Committee returned that with a request to revise that recommendation. So I'm going to share my screen and share with you what the result of Monday's meeting was. It was a lengthy discussion, a little over 3-hour meeting. But the infrastructure projects, those are the major cost projects associated with this. There were a total of 8 projects submitted in round one. Of those, 7 met the minimum criteria. The one that did not was in Omani, McLaren Hall Property Park, and that was referred to the Technical Resources Program. So it does receive funding, but not infrastructure funding at this time. It'll receive about $300,000 to continue studies and engineering. Of the remaining 7, at the conclusion of the committee meeting, 6 of the 7 are now recommended to the Regional Oversight Committee for approval, totaling about, over a 5-year period, about a little over $70 million. And the only one that was not on this list is one in Glendora. It's the Fink Viner Park project. That's about a $25 million project, but that was the only one that did not make the final cut from the Watershed Area Steering Committee. So I wanted to share that update with the board since we did discuss this in those committee meetings.
So is there any questions on this update, directors?
Questions?
Okay, so no other discussion. So that dispenses with item number 5, the committee reports, and then we'll go to item number 6, our consent calendar. There are 4 items there. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Trevino, seconded by Santana, to approve the consent calendar as presented. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor, we'll take a roll call vote. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow? Is he with us? Director Fellow? I think he disappeared.
Can you hear me?
There you are.
Okay, good. I apologize. My computer's in the Apple shop, and I have an old one that's, thanks to the virus going on, I can't get it fixed yet. Thank you, President Chavez.
Okay, so you're voting yes on the consent calendar?
Yes.
All right. Then we'll go to Director Trevino.
Yes.
Director Contreras?
Aye.
And Director Chavez also votes aye. So the consent calendar is approved by a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 7, which is actions or discussion items. We have 3 items there. 7A, which is approved the legislative positions. These issues or these legislative bills went through the Government Affairs Committee, and they were approved in the committee and recommended for the Board of Directors. So is there anything else we need to add to there, or are we ready to take a vote?
Mr. President, if I may,
yes.
I'd like to speak on this.
Okay, please do.
We are supporting SB 625, which calls for the solution of Central Basin and the takeover by WRD. The reason I'm asking is because at Metropolitan, we had an extended conversation on this. We decided not to take a position. So are we taking a position? Are we going to support this legislation?
My understanding is we're taking a watch position. We're not in opposition, and we're not in favor of this legislation. We're just taking a watch and wait and see. Tom, do you want to make some clarification, or if we have Patty on the line, she could also
Yeah, certainly. So the recommendation that was made to the Government Affairs Committee and the recommendation before the board today is that we take a watch and engage as needed position. And that is identical to the position taken by the MWD board. So we're not taking a position of support or oppose, but just watch and engage as needed.
And that's not really a takeover. It's more like a receivership that just run the operations for a while.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying takeover, but WRD will run the business of the operations of Central Basin.
Okay.
My concern is the representation by Central Basin on the WRD board. I mean, on the MWD board. But hopefully that'll be resolved.
Okay. So the position of this legislation that we're approving today is just to take a watch on it. So we're not taking any action, any negative or positive action on this. It's just a watch. So we'll see how the legislation turns out. And if we need to take any action, we'll do so. If not, we're just going to leave it alone. Any other questions?
I do, Mr. President.
Yes, please.
Item that Director Trevino mentioned, has this gone to the Senate? I know past the Assembly. Is the Senate taken any action on it so far, or has it not been, or maybe that can be discussed a little bit later by either the attorney or?
No, it could be discussed now. So, Tom, where's the bill sitting right now?
So the bill is waiting to go before the Senate, which should have taken place next week. The Senate should be in session. However, there's been some COVID cases at the Capitol. The Capitol's been shut down, and it appears the Senate session will be delayed. So it has not gone through any of the Senate process at this point in time. And Patty, anything to add to that?
No, that's correct. The only thing is it hasn't even been assigned to a committee, so it's still sitting in rules. So even when the Senate comes back into session, it will have to be assigned a committee before it can continue forward. And they have until the end of August. Well, assuming, you know, that they don't shorten their schedule because of this latest shutdown.
My second question is, if I may ask, Mr. President, my understanding, and it had to be done by June 30th to make it to the electors or for the voters to vote and put it on the ballot on the November ballot. So there's still time. Is that what they're saying?
No, Director Contreras, this will not be a ballot measure. This will merely be an act of the legislature, and because it's an urgency bill, it requires a supermajority to pass the Senate. It did pass the legislature at roughly a 60 ayes and one nay, so it was overwhelmingly passed by the Assembly. Remains to be seen in the Senate. There is an urgency related to the standby charge adoption by Central Basin, and as Upper District does every year, we readopt our property tax standby charge, and if it is not done by a certain deadline, I think that's near the end of July, then they are unable to reinstate that standby charge. And for Central Basin, I think it's about $3 million annual revenue. So that's pretty critical. And their existing board has been unable to come to a they've been unable to meet as a quorum, frankly. So that is something that's urgent related to that property tax revenue in Central Basin.
Okay. Any other questions on item 7A?
Yeah, one more. I'm sorry. So filing starts next week. There's some people that are going to be running for re-election at Central Basin. Will that continue as normal?
Yes.
So as long as this legislation is pending, then yes, that election will continue as scheduled. If this legislation passes, then the legislation as currently written cancels the Central Basin director election for 2020.
Thank you. And I was asked by someone if we can somewhere down the line mentioned the people that are also on the phone as well, listening to the meeting, if that's possible sometime throughout this meeting, because normally we do that at the beginning to see who joined.
Yeah, I was asked by we can certainly do that, Director Contreras, but if you click at the bottom of your screen or if you're on iPad, top of your screen, there's a button for participants. It will open a box, and you will see both panelists, and then you can click on the attendees and see all the attendees. And we do not have anyone who is not identified. So if you still want us to be on that list, we certainly can.
Thank you very much. No more questions.
Okay, so let's go ahead and please vote. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Fellows, seconded by. Let's go ahead and take a roll call vote for approval. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Contreras?
Aye.
And Director Chavez? Aye. So it's approved by 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 7B, which is approval of professional services agreement to implement the 4th through the 7th grade watershed education program. This has gone through the Government Affairs Committee and has been approved, and it comes before the Board of Directors now. So is there a motion?
So moved.
May I make a comment?
Okay, so it's been moved by Fellows, seconded by Trevino, and we have a question by Director Santana. Please go.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, this is just, we had this at the Government Affairs Committee meeting. It was discussed, and this is a really great program with, there were some questions on the cost, and based on this, we're looking at about $7.50 per student, and then $10 for the $10 for field trips from what they have included here. So they're looking to reach a total of 10,000 students, which is great. So I just wanted to say what a great program this is.
Excellent. Any other comments on this item? If not, we have a motion on the floor. Let's go ahead and take a roll call vote. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Contreras?
Aye.
Director Chavez? Aye. Item 7B is passed by a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 7C, which is nominations of candidates of election of the California Special District Association Board of Directors for the term 2021 through 2023 term. Staff requests the board to provide the direction. Tom, do we have someone to participate?
Yes, we have Mr. Greg Mills. He is one of the candidates for this special district seat. Greg is with a water district in Orange County, and he has requested to speak. So, Nicole Rubin, if you could allow Mr. Mills to speak.
Good morning. Can you hear me, please?
Yes, welcome.
President Chavez and directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley, River Valley Water District. My name is Greg Mills. I am with the Serrano Water District in Villa Park, California, which is surrounded by Orange, California. The Serrano Water District has been around since 1887. In Orange County, and we do have a lake called Irvine Lake or Santiago Reservoir that we share with the Irvine Ranch Water District. I've been on this board for almost 4 years, and I've currently been the vice president for 3 years. Also in this capacity, I represent Serrano Water District in the AQUA JPIA as well. Further, I was with on the Villa Park City Council, 1 year as mayor, 1 year as mayor pro tem. In that capacity, I was on the Orange County Sanitation District for 2 years on that board and 3 years on the Orange County Vector Control and Mosquito District. My background as far as any kind of academic endeavors was I have a master's degree in engineering management and a bachelor's degree in chemistry. I've been a member of the Rotary Club for 25 years, and I have a lot of interest in the special districts because I believe that they serve the constituents and our ratepayers the most efficient way, as opposed to a more command and control from Sacramento or some regional authority. Therefore, I believe that the local control is absolutely the best. That's the reason I'm running. If I do prevail, I plan on doing a lot of work with the membership and enhancing the membership and communication to the membership because there's a lots of different types of districts. Obviously, I am very interested in water, as you are. And, of course, I see you have also items on there regarding stormwater, which is going to be becoming more and more up on the headlines because any water we have, we need to somehow corral that and treat it and reuse it if possible. But also, I've been with the vector control for 3 years. That was very interesting because of the way the water is going into our storm systems and how it affects everything around our county here, and I'm sure you're in your situation as well, especially with older sewers. So all this is relates to a lot of different special districts, whether they're stormwater or their recreation or their water. That's what I'm very interested in. If you'd like to have me answer any questions, I would like to do that. There are other candidates, as you pointed out, and I would like to open up for any questions that you may have of me. My phone is always on, and if I'm awake, I answer it. Any questions that you'd like
okay, to Okay, well, thank you. Any questions for Greg Mills, directors? Any questions?
Yeah. Not a question, but I would like to nominate Mr. Greg Mills for one simple reason. I don't know the other ones.
My reason
for backing him up. I'm sorry. Do we have others?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We have one other public comment on this item. Stacy Taylor with Mesa Water District.
So, Stacy, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. President and honorable board members. I'm Stacy Taylor. I'm water policy manager at Mesa Water District, and just want to shout out to my staff colleagues who are doing a great job hosting this meeting, very well organized on Zoom. We are here to strongly endorse Director Mills. We have a very good working relationship with him, as do all of the Orange County special districts. You should have a coalition letter endorsing Director Mills. And I will tell you, he has been so committed to outreach during this election education campaign that he's been calling all of the 181 special districts in the Southern Network. That level of commitment to me speaks volumes that he is very capable and very committed to advocate on behalf of special districts, local control. He's got the background, the experience, and knowledge necessary to represent us well at CSDA on water policy issues in Sacramento. Mesa Water does have a philosophy of rotation and ascension. And Director Mills has been committed to our local special district chapter in Orange County. He has been attending the executive committee meetings. We have had a representative from Orange County in this seat for over a decade, and we believe that he has the skills to ascend to this position. He has received overwhelming support, and we strongly recommend him. And I thank you so much for allowing me to join you today, and I'll conclude there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stacey.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
I'd like to, if that was a nomination by Al, I had Mr. Mills circled on my agenda already, and he's been a city councilman, and I think that brings some good experience. So I'd like to second Al's nomination.
Okay, so there's a nomination for Mr. Mills. Are there any other nominations? If not, I'll close the nomination and we'll go ahead and take a roll call vote on that. Any other discussions, though, of directors?
I do, if I may finish.
Yes, please.
No, and the reason why I'm doing this is because I've always supported the people that kind of support us and participate in our meetings and contribute to it, which is he was the only one that has participated, or at least was honest enough to call and participate in this other event, where the other two candidates that I also submitted never other than the paperwork. So like I said, I don't know none of them, but I do appreciate his hard work and effort. And for that, I figure he can also represent us for that reason. And that was the purpose of my nomination. Thank you, Mr. Mills.
Okay, great. So there's a nomination on the floor. Let's take a roll call on Mr. Mills. And I'll start off with Director Santana.
Aye.
Director Fellow.
Aye.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Contreras.
Aye.
And I'll make it unanimous. I'll vote aye. And congratulations, Mr. Mills. You're our nominee.
Mr. Mills, his hand's up again. He'd like to speak. So, Ruben, Nicole, could you unmute Mr. Mills?
I hope he's not changing his mind.
No, far from it. I just want to thank you so much for your time and again, the consideration you've given me this morning. I hope to be back soon, and should I prevail, I will be with you and hopefully in person at a meeting very soon. I think it's fascinating the fact that you have such a large watershed. It runs into the Santa Fe Dam. And, you know, you've got a lot of things going on there, and I'm very interested in that for not only your district, but the whole communities involved along there. So thank you so much for your consideration, and have a good day. Thank you so much, President Chavez and directors.
Thank you. Congratulations.
So, Mr. President, if you could indulge me a couple of comments. First, Stacey Taylor, if you could give my regards to Paul Schoenberger, former colleague of mine, and we've been participating in men's crew events for quite a number of years. And then for Greg, my first project in 1990 in California, I'd already worked 6 years, but first project in California was the sewer master plan for the city of Orange and Villa Park.
That's very interesting, Tom. Before I moved to California, I worked on sewer projects in Peoria, Illinois. We were doing rubinium studies, which is a pink liquid, and we are doing these 150-year-old sewer projects. So it's very interesting that you had the same type of experience. So that's where a lot of my engineering comes in the background as well. But and also, some people ask, well, how did you get into speaking? And I said, well, I used to be terrified, and it was one of those things that I wanted to overcome. So that's why I am in these positions these days, and I'm still a little bit apprehensive, but I find every time I go, I learned something else, and I certainly learned a few more things here today from you all. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I'll just say thank you to everyone on the board and also to General Manager Love. I will send your regards to my general manager. And Patty, I'll see you in Sacramento whenever we're allowed to go back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay. With that, so I had a remember of a line from a Groucho Marx. So when I asked Ms. Mills if he changed his mind, there was a Groucho Marx comment where he said something to the fact that any club that would welcome me in is a club I would not want to participate in.
Who's Groucho Marx?
Groucho Marx. Yep.
He was talented.
All right, let's go back to items. Where are we? We are item number 8. So item number 8 is informational items, has press releases and newspaper articles in them. Anyone's welcome to read those at your leisure. And we'll go to item number 9, the attorney's report. Stephen O'Neill.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of items since the last meeting. We spent a fair amount of time working with Evelyn on the employee handbook. We did an update and a rewrite on the employee handbook, working with attorneys from my employment practices department, as well as getting some guidance from Aqua JPIA. So we have a redlined, edited version that Evelyn is in possession of right now. Also worked with Robert on the new building concerning some tenant issues and possible lease termination options for the district concerning some existing tenants. Also completed a water fill station agreement with Elena, corresponded with staff concerning AB65 Lastly, finalized some resolutions that the board had approved at the last meeting concerning Ken Manning and the district's water rates. And looking at having met with Tom yesterday, we don't see a need for a closed session today. So that concludes my attorney's report.
Great. Any questions for our attorney board? If not, then we'll go to item number 10, engineer's report. That's a special report by a Big girl am I now.
No, not at all. Thank you, President Chavez. I get a little bit of echo. No, I think we're good. Anyway, it's especially good to see all of you here today for the meeting, more than usual. It's good to see you guys all as both colleagues and as friends. So especially good to see you. I hope everybody had a good uneventful weekend. Mine was a little longer than I anticipated, but I hope you all had a good eventful holiday and we're all back to work. So I'll just give you a pretty quick hydrologic report. Key well, the latest key well elevation we have was on July 2nd, which was before the holiday, at 203.4. It actually went up about 0.3 feet from the prior week. As you recall, we had reported that we're releasing some water out of Santa Fe, some water from the last rains we had. They had stored it, and we're releasing that water. All of that water was going into Santa Fe for about the last 2 weeks of June, a little bit into July. So it resulted in a turnaround from the key well going down to actually leveling off and going up a little bit. So that's a good thing. So we're good there. On that same subject, they turned it off for a bit over the holiday, and now they've turned it on as of today. Morris, this is all local water. Morris is releasing at 500 CFS, which is about twice the rate it was before. Water is still going into Santa Fe, but part of it is being allowed to go down the river. We get some percolation along the river and headed toward Whittier Narrows. They're trying to send some of the water down to Whittier Narrows and to share some of this local water with our friends down in Central Basin. So that's going on right now. A reminder, the historic low was 169.4, so we're still doing good. We're above our threshold of 200 feet. Things are going good. Hopefully we'll maintain through the summer and we'll have ourselves a good winter. We did drop 0.3 feet from the previous month. So overall it is going down. We're in the summertime, so we expect that. We are about 7 feet higher than we were a year ago. That's a result of a lot of hard work between the upper district and the water master working on putting replenishment water in the basin, local and replenishment water in the basin. 7 feet higher than we were a year ago, which represents almost 60,000 acre feet. Higher than we were a year ago, so a lot of work done there. I'll let you know about the canyon storage. Canyon storage is now about 73% of capacity. As I mentioned, we got some late rainfall, which raised it up to about 84. They've been releasing, so we're down to about 73% of capacity in the canyon. There's still about 50,000 acre feet that they're going to release, or for release for replenishment or for direct use. So we're not going to get all of that, but part of that will go into Santa Fe, part will go down the river to Central Basin, and part of that will be diverted for direct use by the parties that have treatment plants that take surface water for direct use, treat the water, and serve it to customers. Still good news in the canyon in Santa Fe, up in San Gabriel Dam, the San Gabriel Watershed. San Gabriel Watershed inflow is still 53 CFS coming in, so we're still building a little storage in the reservoir with our local watershed because of the rain we had. And the watershed has still got some saturation, so we're still getting some inflow of 53 CFS, that's good news. Deliveries to the basin, there haven't been USG3 deliveries for really a couple of months. San Gabriel, the Four City District, San Gabriel District, did deliver almost 2,000 acre feet to Canyon Spreading Grounds. This is part of their state water contract, so we got a little bit of water up in Santa Fe Spreading Grounds from San Gabriel District. To close out the water year, June 30 closes out the water year now. It used to be a different water year with the county, but now June 30 closes out the water year. For rainfall, Puddingstone Dam, we ended up at a total of 91% of long-term average, so we didn't have a great year. But it wasn't a bad year. To give you a perspective, we've talked about long-term average rainfall and replenishment. While we were at long-term average rainfall at 91%, we're very close. Replenishment really wasn't that good. We're only going to be probably 40-50% of long-term average replenishment. So it wasn't that great as far as getting water in our basin. LA Civic Center, same situation. They were about 98% of long-term average. So that finishes up the year. We're starting a new year, so we'll start from zero again, probably at our next meeting. Water quality, this is for Charles. During June, 20 wells, Charles, 20 wells were sampled under Title 22. During May, 83 wells were sampled under Title 22. We did not get any new reports of wells shut down due to water quality, but I will let you know that things are happening, and Tom, your general manager, was good enough to give you folks an update on the whole PFAS situation with the new regulatory requirements on PFAS. We are going to see some impacts. Water Master's taken the lead to do some testing in the basin. DDW is sending out new notices to a lot of the water agencies for new testing. It's very expensive testing. But Water Master, through their administrative assessment, has taken the lead on getting those tests done. We've had some water companies asking us to do some early testing because they've got concerns because of the new regulatory requirements. So I will tell you that we'll be seeing some new information coming along about this PFAS situation. There's things going on in the legislature on the regulatory requirements. It's kind of unusual the way they even set those things up. They were different than in the past for notification limits and how you enforce. But you will be seeing some more information coming on PFAS. But as of right now, we don't have knowledge of new well shutdowns due to any water quality situations, including PFAS. Last thing to report, just an update, because we are end of the fiscal year. This will clear our slate for water delivered to the basin. And this is through June 30, from July 1st of last year through June 30. We did deliver over 130,000 acre feet of imported water to the basin. And we also delivered 84,000 acre feet of local water to the basin. So a total of almost 215,000 acre feet was put into the basin this fiscal year, which is a pretty good year. As I mentioned, there's still about 50,000 in the canyon, so we'll do a little more, but it'll actually count toward next fiscal year. Lastly, on the RDA, because everybody's involved in this RDA, because it's a new assessment to supplement our lack of local water supply to the basin. The RDA, so far, a total of right at 175,000 acre feet has been delivered to this basin under that new assessment. That's water purchased by the producers through the upper district, primarily the upper district, purchased by the producers to put in the basin. They have no right to recover it under their water rights. It's part of the local water supply that we're buying out of Sacramento to supplement our lack of local water supply. So it's an exceptional deal. It's very unusual for this basin. It's a huge change to the physical solution of the judgment. But 175,000 acre feet has been delivered. About 55,000 acre feet has been paid for. And we have about 110,000, 120,000 acre feet that we still have to purchase under the long-term agreement with MWD that Upper District's a part of, that we have a long-term and annual payment over the next 4 or 5 years to get that water paid for. But it's a good deal. We're in good shape, and we'll hope for a wet year. Now, what is that? It says Superman. I don't know who did that. That's pretty funny. Anyway, that's all I have. We're happy to answer questions.
You're welcome, sir.
You said they put Superman up there.
Steve.
Yes.
Steve. Charles Trevino. I think it's extremely important what you're doing in terms of enhanced surveillance on the wells in light of this whole PFAS thing. And as the whole PFAS thing evolves, we need to anticipate the impact it'll have on our wells in the San Gabriel Valley and our groundwater situation. And I think that, keep up the good work, because this is going to be important for our future supply. Absolutely. Thank you.
You're right. You're right, Charles. Yeah, and just to comment on that, we can have Tony do it. We've done the work through the Water Master with Tony and the Upper District. Some testing's already been done because DDW did require some early testing on what they thought were more vulnerable wells. Right. We haven't had any real issues with that yet, but we do have a technical memo that documents that four quarters have been done now of testing on these vulnerable wells, like 26 wells. We have a technical memo now. We prepared on that work. Where we did have detections that are a concern, all of those water systems already had treatment on the discharge on the water coming out of the well before the customer. So it was treated after pulling it out of the basin, and it was delivered to the customer that was obviously meeting all requirements. But we do have a technical memorandum, and maybe Tom and we could talk with Tony about maybe making a presentation to the board on that work, because that's work that's been done, and there'll obviously be more work coming. So that'd be good.
That's a state mandated testing.
They're state mandated. They did some early requirements. We got an order for 26 wells. Water Master worked with the producers for those. It was four quarters. We just completed that. There was an indication from DDW that more was coming. That's only 26 wells in the basin. We have almost 200. that more was coming. We thought we were going to get those orders by the end of June. That's what they said. We got tentative notices by the end of June. We still have not received yet, I'm checking with Jenny, still have not received yet the actual orders, but we know they're coming. And Watermaster, in anticipation of that, got approval from their policy committee and through the board to put it into the budget for this year's budget and the Watermaster to actually do that testing in anticipation of those orders coming. So we're prepared for it, but we haven't received it yet.
Good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Steve?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, please do.
Thank you. Hi, Steve. Looking good?
Yep. Thank you. You do too.
Thank you. I did have a question. So you remember when we talked about the IRP and Urban Water Management Plan at a recent meeting?
Yes.
You and I had a discussion on the operating safe yields being set at 150.
Yes.
Yes. So is that related to our basin, right? Our $150,000 acre feet, right?
150,000 acre foot. That's for our basin. Yes, the entire basin.
So in the graph that you always show of the key well, that little red line set at 200. Is it just? It really is 150 is the operating safe yields, right?
Yeah, okay. There's two different things we're talking about, just to be clear. The 150,000 acre feet, that's a quantity of water that we can pull out of the basin. The producers who all have a percentage of that amount that they own as a part of a water right. So a producer might have 10% of that, which means they can pull out 15,000 acre feet without a replacement water obligation. That's the 150,000 acre feet. So that's set. Now, they also have water in cyclic storage, and they exchange water rights. There's other ways they can pump more water. But basically, setting a lower operating safe yield like that, it ends up having a higher replacement water obligation, which we buy from the upper district. And after the year's done, we do all the accounting, determine what the pumping actually was, compare it to their water right. If they pumped over their water right, then we send out, Watermaster sends out assessments and collects the money, the amount of money that's needed to buy an acre foot of water from you folks at $800 or $900 an acre foot, sends the assessment to those producers. If they pump 10 acre feet over, we multiply 10 acre feet times an $800 or $900. We get the assessment, Watermaster collects it, and then orders it from you guys, from Tom, and then you deliver it, and Watermaster pays that. So that's the 150,000 acre feet. Lower operating safe yield means we buy more replenishment water, which means we're trying to fill the basin back up. Okay. When you look at that graph, that red line, that's actually a water surface elevation, groundwater surface elevation in the basin. We have a key well in Baldwin Park that's been there for ages. Okay. It's been there forever. In the original adjudication, it was one of the best indicators that we had. This was actually, to believe it or not, it was before me back then. It was a long time ago. And the guys that did that are obviously very smart guys. They identified that well as a good indicator of the health of the basin and the water levels of the entire basin. It's right in the middle, right near the spreading grounds, but right in Baldwin Park. It's a very good well that measures the indication of the water levels in the basin, how high or low we are. Okay. What they determined at that time was, as part of the judgment, is that a water surface elevation, we measure the water surface underground, the water surface elevation at that location, if we keep it above 200, elevation 200 feet, that's 200 feet above mean sea level. If we put an elevation of 200 feet above mean sea level at that location, the basin's basically in pretty good health. So they set that as a barometer to make sure that we try to, our goal is to maintain it above that elevation. That's why we have it in red on the graph. So when it goes below that, that means you get into a little bit of a panic mode and start figuring out that we need to do some additional actions to get it back up there. So that's what that line is for, and it's in the judgment. It says it's the minimum operating level under the judgment, and then it gives Watermaster direction that, and that's why the RDA is so important, because this is before the RDA. The judgment actually gives Watermaster, the Watermaster board, the direction that the Watermaster should set the operating safe yield. That's the 150,000, should set the operating safe yield. And remember, if we set it lower, it's more replenishment water. Set the operating safe yield at a level that requires replenishment water be put into the basin to maintain the key well above 200 feet. That's how they're tied together. So when it gets down to that level, then everybody wakes up and says, okay, we need more ground. We need more water brought into the basin to bring the level back up. So we lower the operating safe yield. People pump the same amount of water, but now they're buying replacement water to put back in the basin, more replacement water. The lower we go, the more replacement water. More replacement water helps replenish the basement and bring the water level up. So that's how they're tied together.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You bet.
Thank you. So any other questions from members of the board of directors? If not, thank you for the report, Steve. Superman, I should say.
I know. That's funny. That's pretty funny. Thank you. It's very good to see all of you. Very good.
Absolutely. Our compliments to your doctor. When you have that procedure, your blood flows better. You have more energy. But somebody says, does that mean his reports are going to be longer?
They might be. It's kind of long today, actually.
we appreciate it, and we appreciate you, Steve. Yeah. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. We'll go to item number 12, the Metropolitan's report. It's there in our packet. Director Trevino, did you need to add anything to that report?
I think you have the general manager report, Mr. President.
Ah, you are right. Item number 11, general manager's report. Tom.
Yeah, thank you. So tying on to Steve's final comments about the operating safe yield, and I haven't checked with Tony Zampiello yet, but we do plan on having a short workshop with the board at the second meeting in July. It'll be a two-part presentation where Tony will present the water master accounting, the safe yield, the production report, the assessment report, and that aspect of water master's operations. And then along with that, I will make a presentation on Upper District's historical imported water demands, both replenishment demands and treated water deliveries, and our facilities, our metropolitan facilities that we use throughout the basin, all nine USG connections that we use to deliver water. So just want to give the board a heads up. We'll cover this in more detail at the next meeting. So other items I want to cover. I want to talk a little bit about the MWD Regional Recycled Water Project. Update on, and Steve mentioned it, on Pacific Clinics, our remaining tenant on the building, and then share with you a video, which I was really impressed with. So on the Regional Recycled Water Project, I'm going to pull up a graphic. This is a schematic outline of their backbone pipeline system. And so this shows, this is down at Carson near the harbor area. This is where the treatment plant is located. This is their phase one layout. So they came out last fall with a technical memorandum and are recommending that they build phase one of the project. And you'll notice phase one includes the pipeline all the way up to the Santa Fe spreading grounds. It includes demands, injection wells in the West Coast Basin, in Long Beach, in the Montebello Forebay. And the reason they're using injection wells at those locations is down here on the West Coast Basin in Long Beach, there are no spreading facilities. So they have to inject the water to get it into the groundwater supply. In Montebello, while there are significant recharge facilities, they are fully utilized with either recycled water, stormwater, or imported water, and they need an additional method to get them into the ground. So the project is planned to come all the way up to the Santa Fe spreading grounds in phase one. And this schematic shows a pipeline in dash, because this is a future phase, to bring this water over to the Weymouth drinking water treatment plant. And this is part of their efforts to work on regulations that would allow direct potable reuse. So this highly treated water would come into the Weymouth treatment plant, be blended with State Water Project water and Colorado River water, and then be distributed through the treated water system. And that's a future project that they plan. And we've been talking in detail about this with some of the Met staff, LA County Public Works staff who operate the spreading grounds, as well as the LA County Sanitation District who own the treatment plant in Carson. And they have created a San Gabriel Valley Executive Committee. And a next big step will be conversations with the Army Corps of Engineers on two aspects of this project. One is this pipeline, a 60-inch diameter pipeline, or that size is approximate size, will likely, one of the key alignments will come up the Corps of Engineers right away, right along the levee of the San Gabriel River. And I want to remind the board, when Upper District was proposing our IRRP project, we were nearly completed with permitting with the Corps of Engineers for a similar pipeline alignment, albeit a much smaller diameter, about a 30-inch diameter pipeline. And so that work is continuing. I'm going to jump to their schedule, near-term schedule. Well, two other aspects I do want to point out to the board, and this is a significant development that's been reported by the Metropolitan Water District staff. So you see here, they've got a list of partners, and the reason they're calling them partners are these are entities that they've been working on letters of intent. And I'll remind the board, it was in April or May, I think it was in April, the board gave me the authority to sign a letter of intent. It was a four-party letter of intent between Metropolitan Water District, Upper District, Watermaster, and Three Valleys. So that letter of intent has been fully executed, and it lays out everything we're going to cooperate on and work on together, our intention to work together on development of this project. And so you see some of the other partners listed here, and there's three I want to call your attention to. Southern Nevada Water Authority, the Arizona Department of Water Resources, and the Central Arizona Project. And so you might ask, why are they partnering with agencies outside of California? Well, this capital investment for this project, phase one easily exceeds $2 billion. And phase two could even be more than that. And that is a lot of investment even for Metropolitan Water District. And so they are working on agreements with these other Colorado River agencies where they will contribute capital towards the project. In exchange, MWD will develop the water supplies here in Southern California and use those supplies to offset some of the demands on Colorado River of bringing up Colorado River water for these other agencies. And while that might sound like a novel concept, I first heard of this in the late 1980s when Southern Nevada, Las Vegas area, was looking at investing in ocean desal in California under a similar situation. So the last thing is, so this is a schedule update because a year ago, this workshop two shown here on the agreement or on the schedule was planned for about October, November of 2019. Well, it first got deferred because the Metropolitan Board decided they were going to have a big strategic planning workshop, which they held last year. And then the second reason for the delay is, and frankly, it has been COVID. First of all, COVID impacted Metropolitan's budget planning process. And then the Metropolitan staff have also initiated a significant effort on a new integrated resources plan, which will have potential implications for the planning of this project. But it is moving forward. They are still planning on having the second workshop in the fall of 2020. And then the next major decision of the Metropolitan Board will probably come near the end of the year, where they will consider entering into agreements to move forward with the CEQA environmental documentation for the project. So that's an update. So from a year ago, this schedule has slipped at least a year, but they are still planning to move forward and continue to pursue the project development. So that's all I had on that. I'll stop here for any questions on that topic.
Okay. Are there any questions for our general manager?
And I do, Mr. President.
Yes, please go.
My question will be part of the future. I need to know later on because I guess I need to be educated. What are the benefits that we have people from Nevada and Arizona, whether we're going to be getting less imported water because we're going to have desalinization, so therefore our take would be less, or are we going to be exporting desal water to Nevada and Arizona? So but that's a future discussion at a later day and time. Thank you.
Okay.
President Chavez, a couple other updates under my report.
Okay.
So we had a conversation with Pacific Clinics yesterday. Initially, it appeared that they intended to remain for the remainder of their lease and perhaps exercise their option, which means they would remain for a few more years. They have come back to us and have made a request for us to consider allowing them to end their lease early. which I'll remind the board was our original intent. Our early conversations were about seeing what we could do to see if Pacific Clinics would be willing to leave. They've now indicated their willingness to do so. It sounds like before the end of the year, so we're in negotiations with them under the terms of that lease termination as we speak. So I think, well, one hand, we were prepared to have them as a tenant. Now we're all able to proceed as we originally planned and renovate the entire building. And the last thing, I would like to ask Ruben to cue this up. I want to share with the board this video. This was sent out in one of our newsletters about a week ago. And so if you see these newsletters, I think they come from Patty. And within those newsletters, there are links to videos. We had one on water quality a few weeks ago, but this one is on our water bottle fill station. And I thought it was really great. And the sound bites and the data that the numbers they show here, I think is really impressive. So go ahead, Ruben.
Did you know Americans purchase 50 billion water bottles per year? It takes a lot of resources to produce one-time-use plastic water bottles. Only 23% of plastic bottles are recycled in the U.S. The rest end up in landfills or pollute our environment. Plastic bottles make their way into watersheds and rivers, degrading water quality and damaging local habitat. Upper District is taking environmental action to reduce plastic pollution by installing water fill stations where people can fill up reusable bottles. Upper District's program originally started with the installation of 10 water fill stations at public facilities with high foot traffic and has evolved into a collaborative effort with more partners stepping forward to increase the number of water fill stations throughout the San Gabriel Valley. Today, this program has received considerable attention and resounding success.
Currently have two indoor bottle filling stations at the Arcadia Library, and that's a great place for these stations because foot traffic number from the hundreds to the thousands, and we have kids, adults, and seniors who all visit the library. This is a great opportunity for everyone to reduce their single-use plastic consumption.
The program has benefited our students because it promotes conservation, it promotes the environment, it promotes healthy drinking at our schools. The filling stations provide access to water for students across the campus. They can show up, fill their water bottle, get to class, drink their water, stay hydrated. It's a wonderful opportunity for our kids.
The water fill station program reduces resources used in bottled water production, decreases plastic waste and pollution, and highlights the safety and quality of our local tap water.
You see, we hired professional models to demonstrate the water bottle filling stations.
Yes, yes. It looked like Jennifer had a...
Is this in our website?
Body double.
Yeah, different hair. That was the difference.
Al, go ahead. Al, I think you had a comment. What was there a comment?
Yeah, my comment is this in... Is that in our website?
Yes, Director. The all of our new videos are available on our website. And I can't take all the credit on this newsletter. Nicole does put together a lot of the content along with input from Elena. So it's a team effort. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, Tom.
Great. If I may?
Yes, please, Santana.
Well, that was great. I did get a chance to take a look at that video yesterday, and yeah, I'll be paying attention to, I'm sure there's more on the website. I wanted to ask about, Tom, were you done with the general manager report, or did you have more items?
Just the last thing is for those attendees that are already aware of it, we do have a producer meeting at 11 a.m. this morning. So I wanted to let the board know that's our quarterly formal communication with the producers.
Great. So I wanted to ask, you know, maybe I missed something when you were talking about the pipeline to Weymouth Plant and our connection with Arizona and what was the other? It was just Arizona, right?
Southern Nevada Water Authority, which serves Las Vegas.
Okay. And that's regarding the recycled water project, right? The thing that you had on there.
Yes.
Is there any connection to desal on there?
No. So when I made that reference to desal, that was an old concept that was explored in the late 80s, early 90s of Southern Nevada investing in ocean desal in California in exchange for additional water out of the Colorado. So the desal water would never go to Arizona. Mm-hmm. It would be used to meet demands here in California, and then California's share of Colorado River water would be used by Southern Nevada. And so, that was the old concept. So there's not a connection this time to desal. It's just the recycled water project.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks. And thanks for the update on all that stuff. It was great.
Yeah. President Travis, if I may.
Yes. Director Trevino.
You know, I think that we had done a lot of work prior as we were looking about rolling out our plan, the IRP plan. And so we had done a lot of the work on the permitting. And I think, Tom, this has really helped Metropolitan because we were able to assist them with the permitting that we have done. And I'm really excited. This is a win-win for us. Again, I continue to say that this is something that is going to really help San Gabriel Valley. I know Metropolitan sees us as important players in this effort. So it's exciting, and I really commend Watermaster Tom and Three Valleys and everybody that's been involved in this, because I really see this as a step in the right direction. The involvement of Southern Nevada and other folks outside of California, I think, you know, and Tony, you might want to comment on this. It'll move us to look at desal eventually. It'll move us to really consider that. It was on the table before back a few years back, and I think it should be on the table now. It's something that I always felt that had some potential. And as Tom said, water transfer, where we would, transfer water without building any additional pipelines to Nevada and other entities. And in return, we would have access to the Colorado River water or et cetera, vice versa. So, I think this is something, a step in the right direction. And I want to thank staff for working on this.
Excellent. Any other questions for our general manager? No comments. Tom, have you concluded?
Yes, I do see a hand up from Mr. Zampiello.
Yes. Yeah. Johnny, welcome.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I think I have to agree with Charles. You know, the fact that the amount of money that they're talking about participating in this, you know, the only way this is going to work is if it gets added into the overall rate for MET. And that means that we have to bring the other member agencies along. And so, you know, the cheaper it is, the more enticing it is to the other members. And the fact that there is the ability to just trade water somewhere else is what we've been working on for 30 years in the water business, to look at these transfers. You know, the state's taken on this issue several times at a high level. And, on large scale terms, it's very hard to do. So this is a big deal. I'm glad to hear that Charles is we've been able to have Charles come on board with the fact that there may be the potential to bring other members and other types of water into this trade as well. So We just need to make sure that, the next big step is this environmental work. We're 1,000% behind going forward with it. We do have, I don't know if Tom mentioned or not, there's a meeting over the summer trying to work with the Army Corps and others to start laying down the groundwork, get some hurdles out of the way for places right. to spread it and some agreements to get the permits streamlined possibly or with the Army Corps and the other agencies. So although we're pushed back a little bit, I think everything because of this stupid pandemic has been pushed back. So I'm still optimistic. And thanks, Charles, for the support.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments under a general manager report there? If not, we'll go to item number 12, Director Trevino. We have your Metropolitan report in the packet. Do you need to add anything to that?
Nothing else, Mr. President. One of the big things, the big issues is on the recruitment for our new general manager. It's something that is going to be some situation where we're moving forward on this, and given where we find ourselves with Black Lives Matter and this other issues, I think we need to really consider having somebody in the general manager's position at Metropolitan that understands diverse communities and understands the issues that are facing Southern California, and bringing in other people on different gender, nationalities, et cetera, to be a part of this. We, as you know, Metropolitan Service Area comprises of my majority minority people. And so we need to have somebody that that will be in the general manager's position that is aware of that, cognizant of that, and is sensitive to that issue. This will be some of the things that we'll be looking at as we go out and to recruit for a new general manager in Metropolitan. That's all, Mr. President.
Excellent. Any questions for our Metropolitan rep? If not, then we'll go ahead and move on to item number 13, Water Quality Authority. As many of you know, our executive director retired, Ken Manning, and we have a great replacement for him, and we're looking forward to a lot of good productive years there. So having said that, we'll go to item number 14, Water Master Report. Does anybody want to report on that?
Only?
Nothing more.
Okay. So that is in the packet. We'll go to item number.
Yes, 15. I guess you should say it's in the packet, right?
Yes. So we'll go to item number 15, AB 1234, compliance. That report's in there. Does anybody need to add to that report? If not, then we'll go to director's comment, number 16, and we'll start off with Director Santani.
Thank you, President Chavez. I hope everyone had a great, healthy 4th of July. I did have a question. It took me a minute to kind of piece it together for Tom regarding the Safe Clean Water Project and the was it 7 projects that we had?
Yeah.
It's the Upper San Gabriel watershed. You mentioned that these projects in total are going to be $70 million to completion. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Those that were approved.
Those that were approved. Okay. And that would be the 6.
That's funding over a 5-year period.
Okay. And is there money in the budget for all those projects right now with this program?
So for the Upper San Gabriel River watershed, the total available funding is approximately $104 million for the 5-year period. And so the total of these projects are about $70 million. While that percentage of the county's recommendation for the committees is to try and keep the total, certainly the first year's allocation down around 55%. So it's as a percentage allocation, it's a little higher than some of the other watersheds. And so as this goes to the Regional Oversight Committee, that may be something subject of their conversation. But yes, it's within the amount of money that is expected to be available over that 5-year period.
Got it. Okay. And yeah, that's all I had.
Thank you. Director, hello.
Yeah, thank you, President Chavez. Before the meeting started today, I got a notice that that Devil's Gate Dam decision was made, and I was trying to understand the whole thing, but maybe, Tom, I don't know if you want to talk about it now or the next meeting, maybe have a little brief report, what it means to the San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah, well, certainly we'll do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chavez.
Okay. We'll go to Director Trevino on Director's Report.
Thank you, President Chavez. I just want to, on a personal note, acknowledge Jennifer, Director Santana. She has finished the Wells Fellows Program. And, I think we ought to recognize the fact that she finished that program and really learned a lot about water. But, we are so fortunate to have her on this board. She received a recognition from the Assembly Speaker for her participation in that. She should be acknowledged that we really are fortunate to have her. So congratulations, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Santana.
Well done.
Thank you. It was a great program. I recommend it to all of you. Check it out.
Thank you. Mr. Vice President, Director's Report.
I have none. Thank you.
Thank you. And I probably talked too much, so I'm good too. Other than that, we'll go to item number 17, future items for the agenda.
And so we do have Director Fellows' request for an update on Devil's Gate Dam decision. And I did get a message from Tony Zampiello. He's actually going to be on vacation. I hadn't checked with him on his schedule, but he's going to be on vacation.
That's the reason.
That presentation I mentioned at another time.
Okay. Sounds good. And then we'll go to item 18. There's no closed session. So other than that, I think we dispense with all our business actions. Anything else before we conclude here, Tom?
No, nothing more from staff. Thank you.
Okay. So having said that, I'll go ahead and move to adjourn.